Shabbos Dav Zayin. So we're going back to that braisa that we were quoting, and the braisa, when discussing the different domains, it includes a karmelist in its list of areas that are karmelists. So I would include a karmelist in its list of karmelists. So Yochanan says that it says karmelist to teach us about a nook in Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? It's basically you have a line of houses that are against the street. The street is the public domain, right? You have all these houses lined up against the street, and one of the houses is pushed back a bit from the rest of the houses, and the nook is the area between that house and the street. So even though sometimes people will go from the street into that nook, still it's considered a karmelist because it's not really convenient to go through. So another teaching from Rabbi Yochanan, the area between pillars of Eretz Yisrael, meaning in the marketplace, they used to have all these pillars pillars standing, and in the area between those pillars, that's considered a karmelis because traffic can't go through them directly. Rabbi Huda says that the blocks in front of the pillars that the merchants would sit on in this marketplace, which were too big to be part of the public domain, but they were too small to be their own domains, those are considered karmelises. The blocks are karmelises. So according to the one who says between the pillars is a karmelis, he would definitely agree that the blocks are karmelises, because to say the pillars are karmelis between the pillars, that's a big chiddush. That's a really strong statement. That's a big deal to say that, because it would seemingly make a lot more sense to say that between the pillars that should be part of the public domain. So that's a big chiddush, a big new thing that he's saying that. That's a karmelis. We would definitely agree with the blocks that they would sit on. That's not such a big deal to say. He would definitely agree to those. He would definitely agree that those are part of that those would be considered a karmelis. However, according to the one who says blocks, he would not actually say that between the pillars is a karmelis, because the blocks, that's just an inconvenient, that's inconvenient to pass through. Between the pillars, it is convenient to pass through, and they would be a public domain. Just because between the pillars you have to, weave in and out, it's still much more convenient, especially compared to blocks where you have to jump over them and things like that. And like we said, the blocks, it's not such a big like chiddush to say the blocks, but it is a big deal to say between the pillars. Another version says that the reason that the blocks are different than the pillars is not about convenience. It's because since sometimes people walk between the pillars, that's considered a public domain. However, people don't really ever walk through the blocks, over the blocks. If Chista says, if you have a brick that's standing upright in a public domain, and someone threw something at it, and it stuck to the face of the brick, right, or something sticky, then you'd be chayav. However, if it landed on top of the brick, you'd be putter. Abaya and Rava say, this is only true if the brick is at least 3 tfachim, because if not, if it's less than 3 tfachim, then people are going to step on it, and then it's going to be part of the Rosh Hashanah. It's going to be part of the public domain. However, if it's more than 3 tfachim, people are not going to step on it. It's going to be too big. They'll walk around it. So it's considered its own domain. It's considered a makom patur. However, by thorn bushes, those don't need to be 3 tfachim because no one ever steps on them. So even if they're smaller, less than 3 tfachim, you're never going to step on them, and they're considered a makom patur. Chir Barav says, even by thorn bushes, if you throw it into them, you're chayav because people will walk into them. However, if it landed in excrement, then you're patur because you're never going to walk in that no matter how big it is or how small it is. Rav Ashi says, even by excrement, you'd be chayav, because he holds that anything that's less than 3 tfachim in a public domain is like a public domain, regardless of whether or not you're going to step in it or walk in it or anything like that. Rav Yochanan says, a karmelis can't be less than 4 tfachim wide, and Rav Sheshes adds that it has to reach to a height of 10 tfachim. So what does Rav Sheshes mean when he says that it has to reach to a height of 10 tfachim? Is he saying that it's only a karmelis if there are 10 tefach walls surrounding it? However, that can't be, because Rav says a house whose walls are not 10 tefachim high, however, the roof, the thickness of the roof makes the walls 10 tefachim high, on top of the roof, you're allowed to carry. Inside the house, you can't carry more than 4 amos, because inside the house is a karmelis, and so here the walls are not 10 tefachim, and we still consider it a karmelis. So that can't be what Rav Sheshes is saying. So rather, Rav Sheshes is teaching that the airspace above 10 tefachim is no longer a karmelis. And that's similarly what Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, where Shmuel says, don't discuss matters of Shabbos with regard to the area above 10 tefachim. So which law is he talking about, that you shouldn't talk about things above 10 tefachim? Is he saying that a reshus ha-yachid, a private domain, doesn't extend above 10 tefachim? Well, that can't be, because Rav Chista says that if you stuck a pole into a Rishus HaYachid, a private domain, and someone threw an object from a public domain on top of the pole, even if the pole is 100 amos tall, you're chayev because the private domain extends out to the sky. So even though it's really high up and you threw it from the public domain, it says you still did a transfer from the public to the private domain. So rather, maybe Shmuel is teaching that a rishus harab and a public domain doesn't extend past 10 tefachim. However, that's obvious. We already learned that in the Mishnah. A Mishnah says, if you throw an object into a public domain at a wall, if it lands on the wall above 10 tefachim, it's as if you threw it in the air. And then you'd be pater because it's resting in the air above the Rishus HaRabim, because it's above 10 tefachim. Below 10 tefachim, it's as if you threw it on the ground and you'd be chayev. So this Mishnah already teaches us that a Rishus HaRabim doesn't extend past 10 tefachim. So rather, like we had taught earlier, Shmuel is teaching that a Carmelis does not extend above 10 tefachim. And why is that, that a Carmelis doesn't extend past 10 tefachim? Because the Chachamim took the leniencies of a public domain and a private domain for the Carmelis. By the private domain, the leniency they took is that if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, it's considered a makom patur. A Carmelis has to be at least 4 tefachim wide to be considered a Carmelis, and the leniency from a Rishus HaRabim is that above 10 tefachim is a makom patur. A Carmelis is only considered a Carmelis within 10 tefachim. So going back to Rav's statement, that a house with walls that are not 10 tefachim, the roof can complete the 10 tefachim. On the roof you're allowed to carry. Inside you can't carry more than 4 amos because it's a Carmelis. So Abaye adds, if you carve a hole like a pit in the floor, that's 4x4 tefachim and a tefach tall. So now the house's walls are considered 10 tefachim and you could carry in the entire house. Why are you allowed to carry in the entire house? Because we view the house as an extension, as the crevices of this pit's Rishus HaYachid. Meaning, when you dug this pit in your house with the required dimensions, you made it a private domain. And the house resting on top of this pit is just an extension, it's just the crevices of this private domain. It's considered just an extension of the private domain, and it's looked at as a private domain. So similarly, we say the crevices of a private domain are considered a private domain. However, there's a machlokas by a public domain. How do we view the crevices of a public domain? Abaye says they're like a public domain. And Rava says, no, those crevices of a public domain are a separate area. Rava challenges Abaye. So you who say that the crevices of a public domain are considered a public domain, how do you explain Rabbi Yochanan, who says the reason the Braisa includes Carmelis in its list of Carmelises is to include the nook of a Rishus HaRabim? However, why do we call it a nook? It should just be the crevice of the Rishus HaRabim, because it's just an extension of the Rishus HaRabim. The street just pushes in a little further into the line of houses. Why don't we just say it's a crevice? So we answer that there's a difference between the nook and a crevice. A nook is not convenient. It's not convenient for people to leave the street and go into this nook that the house, that the pushed-in house makes. That's not convenient. A crevice is something that is convenient. So Rebbe tries to challenge Abaye again from the Mishnah we brought in earlier. If you throw something against a wall, if it's above 10 tefachim, you're putter. If it's below 10 tefachim, you're chayav. So why are you putter, though? It never came to rest, right? You throw something against the wall, it's 10 tefachim high, it just bounces off the wall and falls down. You're throwing from a private domain into the public domain, it hits the wall and falls down in the public domain. Why would you ever be putter? You should be chayav. So Rabbi Yochanan answers, the case is where you took a fig and that stuck to the wall. The fig is sticky and it stuck to the wall above 10 tefachim, so it came to rest in a makom putter, above 10 tefachim. However, here's the question. If we say that the crevices of a public domain are like the public domain, why do we have to say they're figs? It can even be anything, and we could just say that it landed in a crack in a wall, and the crack in the wall is just a crevice of that wall. Why don't we just say that the pebble landed inside the crack in the wall, and that's considered above 10 tefachim, and it's fine. So Abaye brings two answers. The first is that even if there were cracks in the wall, even if you threw it into the crack, the pebbles or anything small would just bounce out of the wall. So it has to be a fig. That's why Rabbi Yochanan has to say it's something sticky. And the second answer is that it's a wall that has no cracks. And now we're going to go through a whole long proof as to how Abaye knows that we're dealing with a wall with no cracks. So we learn this from the first part of the Mishnah. It says, if you throw it above 10 tefachim, it's as if you threw it in the air. If the wall has cracks, though, why do we say it's in the air? Why don't you just say it landed in the cracks and came to a rest, and then this would be a private domain and make you chayev. It lands in the wall. Why don't we say that? And maybe you'll say, really, the wall does have cracks, but the cracks are less than 4x4 tefachim, so it's not a private domain, because Rav Chiya says, if you threw it something above 10 tefachim and it landed in crevices, This is the machlokes between Reb Meir and the Chachamim. Reb Meir says, you view it as if it's 4x4 tfachim, meaning you threw something into a crack or a crevice above 10 tfachim. We look at it as if it's 4x4 tfachim, meaning you don't need 4x4 tfachim for a crack or a crevice. The Chacham say, we don't view it as if it's 4x4, meaning you would have to throw it into something that's 4x4 tfachim. And our Mishnah is going like Reb Meir, so you don't require the 4x4 tfachim. So the only thing we could say is that we're talking about a wall which has no cracks, and Reb Yochanan had to say the case is talking about figs because there was nowhere else for there were no cracks that the rocks or pebbles or anything could land in. So Reb Chista says, if you threw something on top of a pole in a private domain, you're chayev because the private domain goes up until the sky. So Reb Chista seems like he's saying like Rebbe, because Reb Chista is talking about a pole, the top of the pole is not 4x4 tefachim. And Rebbe says, if you threw something in a public domain and it landed on a protrusion, which was less than 4x4 tefachim, we had this earlier, Rebbe says you're chayev, and the Chacham say you're putter. So it seems like Reb Chista is saying that you don't require the 4x4 tefachim for a private domain, and Rebbe is also saying you don't require the 4x4 tefachim for a private domain. So rather, it's like a by answers that in a private domain, everyone agrees with Reb Chista that you don't need 4x4 tefachim. However, you can't compare Rebbe and Reb Chista because Rebbe is talking about a separate case. That is a case where the tree is standing in a private domain, the branch is hanging into the public domain, you threw something and it landed on the branch. Now, do we go based on the branch, which is not 4x4 tefachim, or do we go based on the base, which is 4x4 tefachim, the base of the tree, which is 4x4 tefachim? Rebbe says we go based on the base, and that's why you would be chayav, because we're not looking at the 4x4 tefachim of the branch, we're looking at the 4x4 tefachim of the base, because the branch wouldn't have the 4x4 tefachim. And the Chacham say we go based on the branch, which doesn't have 4x4 tefachim, and that's why you'd be pater shkayach.